Is this on yet? All right. Good evening. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm glad that you made it out this evening. What a blessing to see you come out and to celebrate Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And He is our soon coming King as well. And I don't know about you guys, but I look back to the end of last year when we were gathered like this, the end of 2019, and remember that so many people were saying, oh, I can't wait till 2019 is over. A lot of people were saying that. And they were saying, I just can't wait till 2020. You know, they were all excited about the year 2020, and they were looking forward to 2020 with hope and with expectation. And boy, did that tune change real quick. And so 2020's been a tough year for a lot of folks. A lot of folks have had illnesses. It's been difficult with the whole entire culture being shut down and us not being able to go places, visit family members, go out to eat, things like that, things that we were used to doing. And then, of course, lots of people getting sick, and then some passed away. I've known a few that have passed away. And so it's been a difficult year for many, many people. Now, what is our hope then? For 2020, 2021, there we go. 2020 is gone almost. What's our hope for 2021? Well, I, for one, when we went into 2020, I went in with the hope that maybe Jesus would come back in 2020 for his people. Or as the Bible calls it, the blessed hope. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back so that you can be with me where I am. So Jesus promised to come back for his people. The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 13, calls it the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this has always been the hope of believers, that Jesus would come back someday. Well, it didn't happen or hasn't happened yet in 2020, but I have good news. There's still 7 days left, okay? So don't lose hope. It could still happen. And maybe 2021 will be our year of hope fulfilled. We've done a tradition, or I have anyway, as a church, been meeting now for about 28 years, and I always read a Christmas card. And there's one that I like that I read every time, and it's just sort of a tradition, but I love the message of this card. It's called God Sent Us a Savior. And it says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and I can say amen to that for myself. So God sent us a Savior. So as we have been gathering all of these Christmases to celebrate this glorious event in history, every year I'm thankful. I'm thankful, I'm excited, because I know that Jesus has promised that he will come again. And so we gather to celebrate not a day. People will argue about this. They argue about the silliest things. But people will argue about this. They'll say, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th, you know. And then they'll go into this big, long thing about why he was not born on the 25th. And they come up and they tell you, well, he was born in September, or he was born in the spring. And they come up with all this. You know what? We're not celebrating the 25th. We're celebrating Jesus. We're celebrating a person. We're celebrating that he came into the world, that God so loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is what we're here to celebrate this evening. We're here to celebrate Jesus because hope is born. Hope was born 2,000 years ago. Now, a little background, a little setting. When Jesus came into the world, there had been 400 years of silence from the last time that God had spoken through a prophet to the nation of Israel. Way back in the book of Malachi was the last time God had spoken until the coming of Jesus. And so when the announcement came to Zechariah that John the Baptist was going to be born and that John the Baptist was going to go ahead of the Messiah, that was the breaking of 400 years of silence. Plus, Israel at this time was under the oppressive rule of the Roman government. the Roman Empire and their Caesars. And so it was not a joyful place for them. It was a low point for the nation of Israel. They had lost many of their freedoms. They did have a place to worship. They had a temple to worship in. But even then, the Roman guards were always hovering over everything and watching them and making sure that they did not rebel against the Roman Empire. So in a lot of ways, it was like maybe what we feel a little bit, losing some of our freedoms. I don't think they had to wear masks or any of that, but they did have a lot of freedoms taken from them. Now, they did, however, though, they had this, and so do we. They had something that we also have. They had the promise and the hope that someday the Old Testament had prophesied that the Messiah was going to come and that the Messiah was going to deliver them from their enemies and make them the head and not the tail. However, there were two elements to the coming of the Messiah. One, that Jesus was going to come and be a suffering Messiah, and then the other, that Jesus was going to come and be a glorious Messiah, and that he was going to conquer the enemies of Israel. And that was really who they were looking for. That's who they were focusing in on. So when Jesus came humbly like he did, and then Jesus lived the way he lived and went to a cross and died like he did, they were not looking for that. That was not even in their mindset. And yet the angel, when he announced the coming of Jesus, he said, "You shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So the whole coming of Jesus the first time was to save us from the worst enemy possible, and that is Satan and sin and condemnation, the sentence that we were under as fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Okay, so that was what they were looking for. Now, 700 years prior to the coming of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied and spoke about the coming of the Messiah. And then I'll show you a couple of verses if you have a Bible. And the first one is in Isaiah chapter 7. And this is a prophecy. You find these prophecies in the Old Testament. They were messianic prophecies. This is one of those very amazing ones. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign." So God is telling Isaiah to tell the nation of Israel that there's going to be a sign, and here would be the sign. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means, of course, God with us. So the prophet foretold his coming. Then in Isaiah chapter 9, a couple of chapters later, in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So these are two amazing prophecies 700 years before Jesus comes on the scene. Now, if you were a Jewish person and you were raised learning about God, going to the temple, going to the synagogue, hearing these things read in those services that you went to all of your life, imagine thinking, well, this was written 700 years ago and it still hasn't happened. A generation comes and goes, another generation comes and goes, over and over this has happened. But Jesus has not shown up yet. The Messiah has not come. And now the nation of Israel is under the oppression of Rome. Now hope must have been waning or pretty dim at this time when Jesus actually does show up. In the book of Proverbs, we have this clear picture or a snapshot given to us about hope. And it says this. Proverbs 13:2 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick." So the idea is when you have a hope and it never happens, it doesn't happen, it makes the heart grow sick. But then it says, "But a desire or a hope fulfilled is a tree of life." Now we humans, we all need hope. Webster's defines hope like this: to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen. or be true, to be true, or to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. I like this one. It says, to expect with confidence, trust, or reliance. That's what hope is all about. So the nation of Israel had hoped and been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah for a long, long time, all the way back to the book of Genesis, in fact. It was prophesied that the Messiah would come. There are some 300 Old Testament prophecies that foretold the coming of Jesus the first time. So this idea of hope really is big for us as humans. So they had the hope. They had it written. They had the promises of God. The prophets had spoken and had foretold the coming of the Messiah. Samuel Johnson said, the natural flights of the human mind are not from pleasure to pleasure, but from hope to hope. So it's hope that keeps us going. It's been said that a man can live 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. So Jesus coming into the world 2,000 years ago was a fulfillment of hope. Hope was born. The hope of Israel. And not only the hope of Israel, but the hope of the whole world, the entire world. And so the promise that was given to Joseph and Mary was really the greatest news that this world has ever known. When he says to them that they were going to bear a son. And that son would be called Emmanuel. Now, when we read that proverb just a minute ago, it says, but when a desire or a hope is fulfilled, it is the tree of life. This is what the people experienced, at least those whose eyes were opened when Jesus first comes on the scene. I would encourage you, we don't have time tonight, but read through the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew and see all of the people that were in the story whose hope was fulfilled in seeing Jesus, baby Jesus, as he came into the world. But let's take a look at least one part of the story. Turn over to Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, now this betrothal period was an interesting time in Israel. The marriages were normally prearranged marriages, and so during that time when they were going to get married, there was about a year's time that would pass. They were considered married, but they did not have the marriage ceremony yet or consummate the marriage. And so his mother, Mary, and was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. Okay, that's an emphasis there. It's an emphasis on the virgin birth of Jesus. So before Joseph and Mary consummated their marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. What verse 19 always shows me is that Joseph, when Mary told Joseph, I am pregnant, Joseph in his mind, and obviously he didn't believe her, and she told him that what was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. An angel had appeared to Mary and told Mary she was going to conceive, and it would be of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, he was going to marry her. He didn't want her to be exposed to public example or disgrace, because in that culture, if you were found to be pregnant while you were betrothed, that could really mean the death penalty. That's how strict it was. So he had it in mind to marry her, and then he was going to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Now, that word's interesting. Do not be afraid. I wonder if Joseph might have, some of the issue may have been his own insecurities or his own fears. When Mary tells him this, maybe he's just like, I can't handle this. I can't handle the story. I can't handle the responsibility. I can't do this. It says, so the angel says to him, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. And the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. So the name of Jesus speaks about the person and his mission, what he was coming for. His name tells us what he came to do. His name would be Yeshua or Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Lord is salvation. Jesus is the only one that can save you, that can save me from our sins. There is no one else. So all of this was done, it says, so all of this was done that it might be fulfilled. That word fulfilled is important, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, and we just read it in Isaiah 700 years or so before, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means or translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, imagine that night's sleep, meeting with an angel, all the instructions that you got. He wakes up, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took him, or took Mary as his wife. And it says this, verse 25, once again to emphasize an important truth, and did not know her until she had brought forth her son. In other words, he did not consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born, according to what the scripture tells us here. And so it says, and she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Now, hope, when we talk about hope, hope means, as someone said, an expectancy, there we go, of something that was otherwise maybe hopeless. Dr. Viktor Frankl said this. He was an Austrian psychiatrist, and he studied prisoners, those that had been in prison in the different wars. And he said this. He observed that a prisoner did not continue to live very long after all hope was lost. But even the slightest ray of hope, the rumor of better food, a whisper about an escape, helped some of the camp inmates to be able to continue living even under systematic horror. The fact that they had a little ray of hope. So in the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus is a fulfillment of a hope that was promised or prophesied in the Old Testament. And so when Jesus came that first time, what was happening? He was fulfilling a hope that the Messiah was going to come. Now, this week I've been trying to put stuff on my Facebook page that kind of surrounds the Christmas story. But I wrote this a couple days ago. The first time that Jesus came, he came in lowliness and in humility. And we look at the manger scene and all of that. But the next time he comes, he's coming in power and great glory. That's how he came the first time in humility, but next time he comes. And this is the hope that we are living with now. In 2020, going on 2021, our hope, the hope that we live with, is the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back again. That is the promise, and that is the hope of the believer. Now, is our hope, think about this, is our hope in politics? Is our hope in politicians? Is our hope in a political party? Is our hope in doctors or so-called experts? Is our hope in the economy or the stock market? Is our hope in medicine? Is our hope in masks? Is our hope in hiding out in the basement so that we don't get any germs? Is that really where our hope is being placed? I hope not. Because if those things are your hope, I have bad news for you tonight, because all of those hopes are a false hope and they will eventually fail you at some time because you have misplaced your hope on something that you should not be hoping in. But you see, as believers, our hope, where should our hope be? Where should our eyes be? Our hope should be, and our eyes should be upon the one who was born 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus is the only human that ever lived a perfect, sinless life. He taught us a flawless way to live our lives. He died as a perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God as a sacrifice on that cross to pay for your sins and for my sins. And then 3 days later, as he promised, he rose from the dead. And then 40 days after that, he was ascended up into heaven. So our hope needs to be in and on the risen, glorified Jesus in 2020 and in 2021, whatever's left of 2020. We need to keep our hope in Jesus, who promised to come the first time, and he did, and he promised to come the second time, and he will. And that's where we need to keep our eyes. I would say for you guys in this room, or if you're watching, this year, 2021, keep your eyes on the clouds. What do I mean by that? Let's look at a couple of verses and we'll close. But keep your eyes on the clouds. Acts chapter 1, if you want to turn there with me. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It says, now when he had spoken these things, this is after the resurrection, and Jesus is about to be ascending into heaven, 40 days after he had risen. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels. And who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the manner as you saw him go into heaven. So how did Jesus go? He was received up into the clouds. And we have these amazing promises given to us in Scripture about how he's going to come when he comes back. Look at Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. Look at Mark chapter 14 and look at verse 62. Mark chapter 14, verse 62 says this, and Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So guys, keep your eyes on the clouds in 2021, because this could be the day, this could be the year, or it could be any day. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, listen to what it says there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so look at Matthew, the first gospel. Matthew, I'm going to say it again. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, listen to this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, as someone said, or with power and great glory. But no, that's wrong. Power and great glory, okay? And then finally, look at lastly, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, these verses, some people will say, well, they're talking about two different events. One event is called the second coming of Christ. When Christ will come into the world, he will establish his kingdom, he will literally land on the Mount of Olives, and he will come with his saints, and he will come with the angels, and he will destroy his enemies, and then he will establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. It's called the thousand-year reign of Christ, or the millennial kingdom. But this verse speaks about clouds also. But this verse is a little bit different because in this verse, Jesus does not touch down on the earth. And so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at verse chapter 4, and we'll begin looking at verse 13. And I always read this at funerals. This is not a funeral, this is a celebration, but listen to this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, what was going on with the Thessalonians? They were living like we are. They were living with the idea that Jesus could come back again. He had come the first time. He's coming again, they thought. But some of them were passing away. They were dying. You know, time was passing, and some of them had fallen asleep. They were calling that, or that's a way of describing death to the Jew. They were falling asleep. He says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. We always talk about our loved ones. When they pass away, they go to be with Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us here that when he comes back, they're going to be with him when he returns. And even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So what's going to happen? When we die now, our spirit, our soul, the real us, leaves this tent that we live in, the body. The body stays behind. You might get, you know, buried in a grave. You might be cremated. You might be shark food. I don't know what happens to you, you know. But the bottom line is these bodies are temporary. But the real you, the real me, we live eternally. We live forever. So those that have died in Christ are now with him. When Christ comes back, their spirit is going to come back, and then they will have a resurrected, glorified body, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what Paul is saying here. And so he's giving us this incredible truth about what is going to take place. And so he says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord," and so we talked about that already, "we're not going to go before those who have already died." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first." Then verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up." So there's going to be a group of people that never die. They never taste death. They will be caught up. They're alive, they remain, they will be caught up together with them, notice where? In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. This time, Jesus doesn't touch the earth, we just get caught up to meet him in the clouds. "And thus we shall be with the Lord always," or always be with the Lord. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So I'm comforting you with these words. 2020 was tough, I don't know what's going to happen in 2021, but Jesus is coming back, so what does it really matter? I mean, Jesus is going to come back. And so that's our hope. That is the present hope that we live with as believers. So just some words of encouragement for you. Hopefully this will be the year that we see Jesus return. But you know what? Here's what I've discovered about trials, difficulties, tribulations. God's grace is always sufficient. We just need to trust him. When we're in the middle of difficulties or trials, look to him, cry out to him, call upon him, trust in him. He is there for us. Because he loves us. He loves us. How do we know he loves us? Because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life so that we could live and have eternal life with him. Now, I always freak out like, "Why, Lord? Why would you do that for me? I'm such a wretch." And he came to die for sinners. Any non-sinners in here? Too bad for you. You know, so he died for sinners, and we all qualify. I'm pretty sure. And so praise the Lord. And so that's the hope that we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for coming into the world that first time that hope was born 2,000 years ago in a very humble setting, a little manger, stinky place with animals and all that. And yet, Lord, you came to do an amazing thing that we could never do for ourselves. You came to die and to pay the debt of our sins as a perfect sacrifice. And then you rose again and you promised, you said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back to take you to be with me. Where I am, you may be also." Lord, that is the hope that we live with today at the end of 2020. Lord, whether this year would be the last year that we're here on this earth because we die or something happens to us, make us ready. Or Lord, if you come back and we never taste death and we get caught up in the air to meet you along with the rest of the saints who have passed before us, Lord, make us ready for that event, that day. Help us to be looking up, Lord, because you said that when you see all of these crazy things happening in the last days, to lift up our heads, you said, because our redemption draws near. And Lord, we know that our redemption is close. So help us to be cloud watchers, if you will, in 2021, to be looking for your coming. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name.